All right, as they're leaving, go ahead and take your Bibles and turn to the book of Psalms. Psalms 89 is where we're going to be this morning. We're going to key in on one verse, but I'm going to read down through to that verse. That's verse 7 from verse 1. Again, as I mentioned last week, I've been studying on the fear of the Lord. And this is one of those messages that often get neglected, although it's one of the most important messages that we can hear and be reminded of, because the fear of the Lord means so many things. And as I've been studying this, I really have been overwhelmed with this and trying to discern and be able to share it as well. And today I'm just going to give you a basic, really, overview, mention some things about it, but really not going to get into much depth. But there is a lot about the fear of the Lord. And it's one of those things that we as Christians need to understand what that means, and it's important to us because it really relates to how we respond to God, how we fear God, and how we don't fear God. And so as we look at that this morning, I'm going to ask you to stand. You found your place in Psalm 89. We're going to begin reading verse 1. The message is going to be entitled, it's one of those hard ones to come up with, the fear of God. So, but that's the title of the message this morning. And we're going to begin reading verse 89, and the key verse will be verse 7 is kind of where we'll take from there. But let's begin reading. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built upon forever. Thy faithfulness shall thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant. Thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations. Selah. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? Verse 7. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning again, as we look at this passage and we look at the topic, the fear of the Lord or the fear of God. Father, I know that there's so much more that we can share and so much that you say about it. But Father, I pray that we just get an inkling, an understanding of what it is to fear you, to understand what it is that you want us to know about you. And I pray now you guide and direct in everything that's said. The words that I share will be your words. And Father, that you will guide and direct in those words that will touch the hearts of those that are seeking you. Father, have your way now. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So the fear of the Lord is where we're going to camp out a little bit, and we've got to ask ourselves, what does it mean here in verse 7? It says, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be in reverence of all them that are about him. The phrase to be feared is a Hebrew word. It's awrats, okay? And it means to awe, to dread, to harass, okay? It's translated as to be affrighted. It's translated to break, dread, fear, oppress, prevail, shake terribly. I don't want to be shooken terribly, okay? And then as you look at that passage, so it says, God is greatly to be feared, that phrase. And then it says, in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. That phrase, and to be had in reverence, is the Hebrew word yare, and that word means to fear, morally to revere, causatively to frighten. That's what that word means. And it's translated affright, be afraid. It's translated dreadful, fearful, and terrible, reverence. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, you don't have to turn there. It says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. In the fear of God. So the fear of God's important. It's mentioned many times in the Bible. I can't even count how many times it's mentioned. I started looking up the word fear, and there's a lot of different words in the New Testament and Old Testament that use the word fear. So I haven't done the complete study. I've just done a few words. The word fear here is the Greek word phobos, okay? That's the Greek word. That doesn't mean a whole lot to me, or probably doesn't mean a whole lot to you as well, but that's what it is. It means a fright. It means alarm. And so those are the words we're looking at. And it's translated, I think I have that here, as to be afraid, exceedingly, fear, or terror in the New Testament. That's the words it's translated as. So what are we to fear God when we're in His presence? As we look at the passages in this morning, we're going to look at several. This is what is talking about, this reverence of God. In His presence, we're to fear Him. When are we in the presence of God? I'll tell you, as Christians, we're always in the presence of God. Okay? Always. And we're to fear Him. We're to understand what that fear means, that awe, that dread, if you will, that reverence. And those are different words that it's translated as. But it is a reverence if you think about it. And Psalm 25:14 says, the secret, that word secret means session, company of persons, or intimacy, kind of like a fellowship, that's what that word kind of means, of the Lord is with them that fear Him, and He will show them His covenant. So those in fellowship with the Lord, those that are in fellowship, and fear Him, He will show His covenant to them. He will show us what He wants us to do. He will show us that testimony, which is the Word of God, how to live and what we're supposed to do in this life. John Bunyan, many of you met him by reading his books, because he lived a long time ago. In 1679, he described the fear of God. Listen to what he said as he described Him. He said, man crumbles to dust at the presence of God. Yea, though He shows Himself to us in His robes of salvation, man crumbles as dust. That's what the fear of God means. Who are we? Who is God? And we see there are evidences of that in the Bible. Turn, if you would, to Genesis chapter 28. Go with me to Genesis chapter 28. This is going to be talking about Jacob. And Jacob, he has left his father. Remember, he tricked his father. His mother, Rachel, set that whole deal up. And she wanted Jacob to get the blessing. So she had him dress up and put on sheepskin, so his dad would feel him and say, oh, you're rough like your brother Esau. And so anyway, he tricked Isaac into giving him the blessing, and then his mother said, well, he needs to leave this place. Of course, Esau was mad at him, and Esau, he already stole the birthright, now he stole the blessing. Esau wanted to get him, but anyway, Rachel wanted to protect him, so she told Jacob, or Isaac, and so Isaac told Jacob to go in chapter 28. And that's what this is about. In verse 1 it says, and Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. He said, arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence, the daughters of Laban and thy mother's brother. So that's what's happening here. But I want you to go down to verse 10. He's on his journey. He's heading that direction. And let's see what happens here. We're talking about the fear of God, okay? Let's keep that in mind, the topic, as we look at this. It says, and Jacob went from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillow. That's tough sleeping. Okay, pillow, he's got a stone for a pillow. But anyway, and he lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, the ladder set on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. Imagine this dream. Here he is, he's got his head on a rock, he's dreaming this dream, and here's this ladder that goes to heaven, that touches the earth, and we got angels coming up and down, okay? He says, it says in verse 13, he says, and behold, the Lord stood above it. So now we got the Lord standing there and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. He is reiterating the promise that he made to Abraham in chapter 12. And he also made that same promise to Isaac as well. So he's just telling Jacob, this promise still is true for you as well. Verse 14 says, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south, and in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Again, the Abrahamic covenant. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. God's promises are true and always will be. Then Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not." Remember, this is a dream to him. God is giving him this vision. In verse 17, it says, "And he was afraid and said, 'How dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven.'" So here, Jacob wakes up and he realizes that the Lord had been there. And what happens is, he does exactly what the definition says. He crumbles in the presence of God, knowing that God was there, and he is afraid. He is fearful because God was there. That is the attitude. That is the way we are to respond to God. That is just the opposite of pride, isn't it? That goes back to that humility, realizing that God was there. Go to Isaiah chapter 6. That was an illustration of that fear of God. But in Isaiah chapter 6, turn over there. You know where we're going. It's one of those familiar passages. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. I'll let you get there. I've been accused of this, and it's true, that I say a passage and then I spout it out and everybody's turning pages and not there yet. Well, I'm trying not to do that because I want you to fix your eyes on the Scripture and make sure that I'm telling you the right thing. Isaiah chapter 6. Look at verse 1. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple." So we see this. Isaiah is seeing the Lord. "Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet." That's two. "Twain. And with twain he did fly." So there's all six of them. "And one cried unto another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.' And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke." Listen to his response. "Then said I, 'Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes had seen the King, the Lord of hosts.'" You see his response? He crumbles in the sight of God. He fears God. He realizes who God is, and there he is. He sees him, and he realizes that he is undone. This is Isaiah, one of the great prophets of the Bible. He feared God. "Then flew one of the seraphims," verse 6, "unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the thongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, 'Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged.'" He saw his condition. God took and he brought the remedy, and he actually forgave him of his sin. He purged him with the coal. But in the presence of God, Isaiah crumbled. In Daniel, you don't have to turn there, but in Daniel chapter 10, we went over this a while back. I'll just give you the idea of it. Daniel had a vision of the Lord. And in verse 16, he says, "O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remain no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me." What happened? Daniel crumbled at the fear of the Lord. When Paul met the Lord Jesus Christ, turn over to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. We'll begin in verse 1, but we'll go down to verse 6. Acts chapter 9. "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus and to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way," talking about those Christians, those that followed Christ, "he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. This is the Lord. And what does he do? In the fear of the Lord, he crumbles. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling the fear in his heart, and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go to the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Paul, that day, he crumbled at the presence of the Lord. Turn to Revelation chapter 1 for a second. Revelation chapter 1. The book of Revelation is written by John, superintended by the Lord for sure. But in Revelation chapter 1, we see again the fear of the Lord. Let's look at verse, let's see here. We're going to begin verse 4 in Revelation chapter 1 and just go down through, well, that's probably too far. Let's start at 9 and then we'll go down to 17. It says, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos. For the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book. Send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyra, and to Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, represents the church, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. And his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. Many times when you hear the voice of God, it's like thundering or something really loud like many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. John just got a vision of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 17, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. That is the fear of God. That is, these men have seen God. They've spoken with God, and this is what they did. This is how they reacted. Now, does that mean that we all ought to be on the ground all the time? No. But that is the attitude we should have to fear the Lord, is to reverence Him. And it carries a lot of weight when you start looking at what the fear of God or the fear of the Lord is in the Bible. He gives us many, many different things that that means to us as Christians, as people of God. It also means something to those who are lost as well. The reverence of God. So we are to reverence Him or fear Him in His presence, but we're also to fear His name. How many times do we use one of those euphemisms of Jesus and don't even think about it? Now, I don't have the list with me. There's a lot of them. Don't even think about it. But really, those are euphemisms of God's name or Jesus' name. And we use those flippantly. There's no fear in that. No demonstration of fear in that. In fact, we're like everybody else. We can say Christian swear words, if you will. But if we fear God, we're going to be careful what we say and how we say it. We're going to be careful for the words we use when we talk about our Lord Jesus Christ, when we talk about God. Moses was giving some instructions from God to his people, and he told him that his people are to fear God's name. And Deuteronomy 28:58 says, If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, and then it's all capitalized, the Lord thy God. His name, fearful name, it says. Psalm 111:9 says, He sent redemption unto His people. He hath commanded His covenant forever. Holy and reverend is His name. Is His name. David wrote in Psalm 86:11, that passage we were in, or a couple passages back where we are. He says, Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. unite my heart to fear thy name. We ought to fear his name. The heathen, they also, Psalm 102:15. So the heathen shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth thy glory. You know, the Bible teaches us, one day every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess the Lord Jesus. We can do it today, or we can wait until it's too late. But everybody will, in the fear of God, bow down and confess His name. Everybody will. We're to fear God in our worship, in our service, to keep us from sin and to perfect us to holiness. David shares in Psalm 5:7, he says, "But as for me, I will come into the house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple." When we reverence God, we're going to worship Him. We're going to lift Him up. When's the last time you just talked to God and told Him how great He was? How wonderful He is. All that He's done. And you can go through the Word of God and you can find those things. If you don't know, if nothing comes to mind, go read your Bible. It's all there. The heavens declare the glory of God. Thank you, Lord, for giving me the heavens. Thank you for the sun and the moon. Thank you for all that you've laid out on this earth for me. Thank you for watching over me. You told me you'll never leave me nor forsake me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for caring about the simplest things in my life. I can't get the door open, Lord. I'm done with this. Never fear, Bruce. I can help you. We need to be in awe of God. We need to reverence Him. We need to lift Him up on high. Why? Because we're His people. We are His people. The word worship in that passage means to prostrate oneself. You know, sometimes we have a hard enough time getting down on our knees. But then prostrating, that whole idea is you're laying flat. Your hands are way out, outstretched, and you're just there. You're getting as flat as you can to that ground. Lower than a snake's belly or whatever. You're prostrating yourself to a holy God. It's worship. And I'm not talking about you have to do that literally, but that's all about the heart, isn't it? It's all a heart matter. When Jesus was speaking to the woman at the well in John 4:24, He says, "God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth." Spirit, of course, is the Holy Spirit that resides in us. That spirit that agrees with the Spirit of God. If the Spirit of God we know fears God, we who have the Spirit of God in us ought to fear God as well. A reverence of God. The truth is the Word of God. John 17:17, "Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth." And we know that in John chapter 1 it tells us that as well. But what about our service? We're to fear God in our service. Psalm 2:11, "Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling." That ought to motivate us to serve the Lord. Because we love Him and we reverence Him and we're in awe of Him. We know who He is. We know what He's done and what He can do. And He is mine. Personally mine. I hope He's yours, but I know He's mine. And I know that He wants to guide me and direct me in this life. And He wants me to learn what it is to fear Him so I can do that. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28 says, "Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." That's how we serve Him. We serve Him with reverence and godly fear. Why do I clean the toilet out? Because it has to be done. Well, that's the way we feel, don't we? I'm there. I know what you're talking about. But if we can ever learn the fear of the Lord, we can go back and we can put that in its right place. Lord, thank you for allowing me to clean the toilet. There may be some people here that can't clean a toilet and would love to do it. Think about those folks. How about that? I was in a position one time I couldn't get up and do any of that. I need to have a rethinking of this. And, you know, it's a joy to be able to serve. It's a joy to be able to wash the dishes. That's my job at home. I get to wash the dishes. Janie cooks the food and I wash the dishes. And I'll tell you what, God has changed me in that area. Before, it used to be woman's work. Now it's serving God. It makes a difference. The awe of God, the reverence of God who loves me and gives me the ability to do it. It'll keep us from sin. Exodus 20:20, and Moses said unto the people, fear not. Now there is a fear not. We're not going to talk about that today. And it's talking about you don't have to fear the world, you don't have to fear the devil, all of that if you fear God. For God has come to prove you, and that His fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. If you will fear God, it will keep you from sinning. It will keep you faithful. It will keep you in the Word. It will motivate you because of who He is. He is God. He tells us that it's to perfect us to holiness. We've already mentioned 2 Corinthians 7:1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting, and that means complete, making whole, perfecting holiness, how? In the fear of God. If I am in awe of God and I reverence God, I'm going to go the nth degree to please God. I'm not going to find out where, well, this is okay. This is the line that it's okay. So I'm just going to get over there. And some people don't like the line. I'm sorry. It's an illustration. But here I am. I'm just walking against the line here. And I'm okay. I'm just okay. But when you awe and fear God, buddy, you're going to get as close to Him as you can in every area of your life. And this is a process. Because to fear God is to grow and to love Him and to love what He's done. It's looking from things from a different perspective. You know, some people think God's not merciful. Have you ever heard that? God's not merciful. Why did He send all those people in Israel to go kill all those people? That's not merciful. They don't see it from God's perspective. They see it from our perspective. Sinners. Unholy. Don't know anything about that. But if you could ever get it from God's perspective, He loved all those people. They didn't love Him. Although anybody could have said, Lord, I'm trusting in You. Just like Abraham believed God and He's counted to righteousness, anybody could have done that. Noah found grace in the sight of God. Anybody could have done that. But it's because we reject God. We don't fear God. We don't know what that means to fear God. There are many who have not feared God. In Psalm 36:1 it says, the transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before their eyes. There are a lot of people today who don't fear God. You don't have to go far. Just step outside and see what people are doing today, how they're living, what's going on. There's no fear of God. In fact, most people you talk to probably say they might have an inkling there's a God, but they don't really think there's a God. Because if they did, and if they really feared God, they'd tremble and shake and dread and be where they need to be, finding out more about Him. Because there is a real hell. The fact that man transgresses and sins against God demonstrates that he does not fear God. Eli's son did not fear God when they ministered in the holy worship of God. And as a result, both of those men were slain by the Philistines. Uzzah was smitten for touching the ark. Well, he had good intentions. I know he did. But he didn't fear God. How do I know that? Because he touched the ark. It was a sin to touch the ark. It was disobedience to God to touch the ark. He thought he was doing a good thing. Really, it was David's fault because David should have never had that in the cart anyway. So it's a rebuke on David. But that was sin. Yeah, man, I know you taught that. Benny told me already. I said, you're going to hear more of that today, a little bit. Achan, for stealing what belonged to the Lord from Jericho in Joshua chapter 7. He didn't fear God. He died. His wife died. His family died. All his cattle died. Because he didn't fear God. Ananias and Sapphira in the New Testament in the transition period in Acts chapter 5 did not fear God. How do I know that? Because they lied. They lied. And let me tell you something. When I look back on that, I'm thinking, that was just a white lie. What's the big deal? Hey, here's my money. Take it. Oh, by the way, that's all of it. I got a little bit back here I'm not telling you about. That's not that big a deal, is it? I do that, don't you? Don't have to raise your hand. But think about it.
If they would have feared God, they'd have told the truth. Why didn't they tell the truth? One reason. P-R-I-D-E. They wanted to seem like they were like everybody else, giving everything they had, and they were. That's why they did it. If they were in fear of God, then that pride wouldn't have been there. They could have just said, hey, look, we're giving 75% or 95%. We're keeping 5% because we just want to have something to retire on, you know, hold back just in case or whatever. But they didn't tell the truth. And all they did was tell the truth. Instead, they wanted to look like everybody else. Sometimes as Christians, want to look like other Christians when they're not really in the fear of God. It's the same thing, in a sense. The fear of the Lord is commanded. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. This will probably be about the last place we go. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Verse 1 says, now these are the commandments, the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you. And that's all this that goes before it, includes all that. He says, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it. So he's telling them, we're teaching these commandments, we're teaching these statutes, we're teaching you all this just so you know what's right. No, so you know what's right and do it. There's rubber that meets the road here. This is why we're giving you this. And then he says in verse 2, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, in all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. You want a long life? Fear God. Fear God. In Deuteronomy 13:4 says, ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. That cleaving is that you're going to hang on. You're not going to let him go. You're going to go where he goes. You're not going to leave him at the house and go do something else that you shouldn't do. Because he's with you if you're saved. You can't just rip him out of your chest and say, Lord, today I don't want the Holy Spirit following me because I'm going to do some things that you won't like. We can't do that. But sometimes we act that way. In 1 Peter 2:17 says, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. In Psalm 19:7-11, I did tell you a wrong. Let's turn there for just a second because I haven't got that passage written down. But I want you to turn there for just a second. Psalm 19. You know, this whole lesson is spawned from as I've been reading the Psalms, because there's so much in there, the fear of the Lord. But anyway, in verse chapter 19, I want you to see verse 7. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, confirming the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean. That word clean means pure. Pure. Holiness, in a sense. Enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. And listen to what the psalmist says. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. I don't know about you, but I am short-sighted. I can only see tomorrow. Even in my mind, I say, well, I know there's another day after tomorrow, but still, I can only see tomorrow. And so how do I live? I live for tomorrow. When God says, if I fear Him and live for Him, there's great reward. And that's not just, it could be tomorrow. But in the future, when I'm with Him, there is something that's going to be a great reward. Salvation is a great reward, but there are a whole lot of other things too. And if we fear the Lord, those are things that we're seeking to find out what they are. Because we want to please God more than anything else. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, flip back over there if you can. I'll begin reading. We'll finish this up. He says, hear therefore, O Israel, verse 3, observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest may increase mightily as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. If we fear God, we're going to want to do what He wants us to do, and we're going to love Him. That's what the reverence of fear of God is going to bring us to, is the love of God, to where He's the most important thing in our lives. There's nothing else more important than God in our lives. I haven't attained to that yet, but that's the direction that we're to go. And don't give up. Don't quit. Don't stop, but just keep on, keep on. Because God is going to bless us if we will do such. Go on down to verse 7. He says, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." You want your children to be saved? You want your children to understand what salvation is? Walk in the fear of the Lord. Show them the fear of God in your life so they can see that it's real. That God, you're in awe of Him. And to be in awe of Him is to spend time with Him, to show that you believe it and you are going to try to live it as best you can in the power of Christ. Then they will see these things and it will make a difference in their lives. The most important reason we lose our kids is because they really don't see Christ in us. They hear us talk about it. They hear us preach about it. They go to Sunday school. In fact, I read just recently that most kids go to Sunday school. They don't stay in church these days. Because we have to demonstrate it more than just talk about it. And we have to show it in the Bible to them. This is why I do what I do. This is why I live the way I live. It's because the Word of God. And I fear God. And this is what He says. Let me just give you some effects of fearing God. I'm just going to give you kind of like a list. And these mostly, I think all of them, well, Proverbs too, but Psalms. If you want to please the Lord, fear Him. Psalm 147:11 says, "The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear Him." If you don't fear God, He's not taking pleasure in you, in those that hope in His mercy. It brings wisdom and understanding. Proverbs 9:10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy is understanding." Pastor, I don't read good. I can't understand things. Well, get in the fear of God. He can open the door. There's nobody that He's not going to reveal Himself to that is seeking Him. Can I hear an amen to that? It's the truth. There's no excuse. If you fear God, He will do it for you. He will help you do it. Now, that's not saying it's going to be easy. There is work in living for the Lord. Because we have to be willing to sacrifice or submit. And it's not a sacrifice when you begin to love God. Proverbs 8:13 tells us that we're to hate evil. Do you hate evil? The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, and the evil way, and the forward mouth. That word forward means fraud or turnabout truth. Someone who's not speaking the truth. God hates that. He says, "Do I hate?" He tells us it's a fountain of life. We already know it prolongeth our days. Proverbs 14:27. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. It brings a blessing. Psalm 112:1. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in His commandments. I tell you, sometimes I don't delight in those commandments like I should. You know what I mean? But that's what it tells us. It brings the mercy of God, Psalm 103:17. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children. I mentioned it already prolongs days. It brings strong confidence, Proverbs 14:26. And the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. You know, you can be confident in the things of God if you are living in the fear of God. You're confident in your salvation. You're confident in sharing the Word of God. You're confident when you read the Bible. You're confident in your prayers. When I pray, I'm asking God to hear me, okay? And I know that He wants to hear me, but if I'm not in the fear of God, if I regard iniquity in my heart, He will not hear me. There's no confidence in that. If I'm willingly sinning against God, He's not listening to me. He's probably got His belt out trying to spank me. But listen, the fear of the Lord will cause us to tell others about Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5:11, Paul writes, "Knowing therefore the terror." That word terror is that word phobos. which we got the word fear in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 11. He says, knowing therefore the fear of the Lord, the awe, the reverence of God, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. So when we fear God and when we trust God to do what He wants in our lives and we let Him be God in our lives, those are the things we're going to want to do. These are evidences of someone who's in the fear of God. Now, can you do these things and not fear God? Yes! That's why we get it all backwards all the time. That's why the lost look out and they see Christians and say something about, that guy says he's saved, but he lives like the world. And then you see other people that work hard at being a Christian but aren't. Only God knows who's a Christian and who isn't. But a result of fearing God is going to put us in that position that we're going to at least act like we're Christians. And we're going to try to follow God. And it's not as hard as we think. I mean, when we do it on our own, it's always going to be very hard. The things that are in this book, man, I cannot accomplish on my own. I cannot do this. It is impossible for me to do this. But with the power of the Holy Spirit and the awe of God, the fear of God, submitting myself to God, He can do it through me and anybody else. Everybody here is level at the foot of the cross. God is looking for tools He can use. He's looking for people that will trust Him, that will fear Him, that will obey Him, that will walk with Him, that will read about Him and learn about Him and speak to Him and let Him speak to you. He's looking for those kind of people. He wants everybody, but not everybody's going to do it. Many are called, but few are chosen, the Bible says. How do you become chosen? You accept Christ as your Savior and you begin walking with Him. You trust Him. Salvation is the only means that we can have a relationship with God. So lastly, the fear of the Lord is to crumble to dust at the presence of the Lord. That's the attitude we should have. God is the Almighty. You say, well, I built that thing. You know, you didn't do it without God's help. I don't care if you're lost or not. God gave you the mind and the abilities to do what you do. How often do we pat ourselves on the back thinking, I designed that, I built that, I made that, look at me. It's God. Fear of God's going to reflect that praise and say, God allowed me and gave me the abilities to accomplish what's accomplished. I didn't do it. It was God who gave me the ability. Ecclesiastes, and this is where we're closing, Solomon wrote this. And it's not the last verse of Ecclesiastes, but it's the next to last verse. Verse 13, he says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. He says, fear God and keep His commandments. Two things he says. Fear God and keep His commandments. He says, for this is the whole, and the duty in that passage, that is an italicized word. So it should be read like this. And keep His commandments, for it is the whole of man. That's the way it's actually translated, okay, or should be. But the italicized duty, we put that in there and think, some people think that it's a duty. Well, no, it's not. It's respect and awe of God, you do what you do. It's the whole of man. And maybe the duty's implied, I don't know. But they put it in there. So the question we need to ask ourselves this morning before we leave is, do we fear God? And be honest with yourself. You know what? To be honest with yourself and put yourself in that position, that's the beginning of wisdom. That's where you start. If you walk out of here prideful and say, I'm not going to tell anybody anything or show anybody, I'm not going to move, I'm not going to do anything, you just said, God, I don't fear you enough to get up out of a pew and if God's speaking to you and come to an altar and say, God, help me, because I don't fear you like I should. If you can't move and God has spoken to you, you don't fear Him. Because if you did, you'd be shaken and you'd get up here as quick as you can. Think about it. You don't do anything because I tell you. You do it because God tells you. And that's the only way you can be right with God. Let's bow our heads and let's have a word of prayer. Father, we come to you thanking you so much for all that you've done for us. I don't even really understand. I want to, and I realize a lot of it's my fault for not spending as much time as I need to with you. Because to learn about you is to be with you. Father, you've given me the Spirit that can guide and direct me in those things. And yet often, I quench that Spirit. I shut it down because I want to do what I want to do. Father, help me not to do that. Help me to be in awe. Help me to reverence you. Help me to know how much you love me, and so I can reciprocate that. And love is demonstrated by not what we say as much as what we actually do. Father, help each one of us to love you with all our heart, with all our mind, and with all our soul. We pray now you bless each one here, Father. Pray you speak to their hearts, help them to be honest before you, realizing that we can't hide anything from you. Father, have your way and your will in each person's life here. Maybe there's somebody lost, never put their faith and trust in Jesus. We pray today, Father, that they would understand the reverence, the awe, the fear of God, that they would come forward and ask, how can I be saved? And Father, that we would have that opportunity. Pray now, have your way in the service. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.